Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the new screensavers is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. The new screensavers is brought to you by Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. See what's on the menu this week and get three meals free with your first purchase and free shipping by going to blueapron.com/NSS.
Meta's augmented reality headset, hands-on with the Samsung Galaxy S8 and Facebook's F8 conference. Live from the Twit Eastside Studios in beautiful Petaluma, it's the new screensavers.
Nice job. Actually, Evan wired a lot of this studio. It's very nice. He's a local fan, and he comes by every once in a while, and we put him to work the last time he was here when we were building our new set. Good to see you, Evan. Thank you for being here. And hello to Florence Ion.
Hello, Leo.
Welcome. Good
Thank
to see
you.
Me. Episode 101 for April 22nd. 27. It's Earth Day.
Earth Day.
Earth Day. Did you do anything for Earth Day? Did you plant a tree?
I've got a burgeoning garden in the backyard, so
nice.
There's
good.
Lots of earth in my backyard right now.
That's all you need to do. And what's nice is tied in with the Earth Day, the March for Science. And we're all fans of science, right? I mean, we wouldn't have all the things we talk about.
We would not.
Basically, I think of technology as science applied.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So big all over the country, people are marching and celebrating and science and talking about science, which is great. Some great t-shirts.
They're wearing brain hats, by the way.
Brain hats. Yeah. I need a brain hat.
So people knit brain hats. That was the thing.
They look like brains?
Yeah, they look like little brain. Like
brains.
Little, yeah.
Wow. Did you see there was a Star Wars event? I guess they have Star Wars events all the time, but there was a Star Wars event. I think sort of tied to this. And there was a little girl who dressed up as Jyn Erso. She looks like she's 6 or 7. She's a little girl dressed up as the character from Rogue One.
So cute.
And her parents made up, you see that plastic thing? A bunch of little Death Star plan cards. And she was at a cosplay of a convention of some kind. And she at the Star Wars celebration. So everybody she saw dressed as Princess Leia, she would give them Death Star plans. I love
this
that.
This is amazing.
Wow, she really looks like
that's
Princess
amazing.
Leia.
That's amazing. She's got a little R2 purse and everything.
Oh, isn't that sweet? I understand there was a Carrie Fisher memorial at the event. And that must have been a touching moment where they... there she is trying to stuff it into an R2. It's weird that R2 had a slot right there. Like, it was made to hold Death Star plans. Anyway, happy Earth Day. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about these Samsung Galaxy S8s.
A little bit, just a little bit.
This was our S8 day. Yours was Wednesday, mine was Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the S8 Plus,
yes.
As do I.
Yes, I had the smaller one earlier.
I think any intelligent person would get the largest screen because it's more battery, and frankly, it's not that big.
Reachability.
Reachability?
Reachability is a little tough.
Well, you'd have to have... Yeah, I can't quite with my hands wrapped around it. Anyway, we'll give you our review.
Yeah.
We've both had it for enough to at least talk a little bit about the pros and the cons. There are some cons on the Samsung Galaxy S8, brand new phone. Georgia is going to join us with the Breathe app to calm us down after we talk about our exciting new phones. Megan Maroney will show you how to get the... This is kind of gross, but there's apparently an earwax issue with AirPods if you jam them in there, too. So she's going to show you how to... Do not put them in the dishwasher, apparently. That's the first tip.
Oh, my God.
She'll have the best way to do it. And Nathan Olivares-Giles, who is a big gamer, got an early release of Mario Kart 8.
So jealous.
Do you have a Switch?
Not yet. It's on my birthday wish list, which is next month. So we'll see who comes through.
I love it. Highly recommend it.
I want one so bad.
And I just bought it for Zelda. Because it's a great... I'd never played Zelda before.
Me either.
It's so much fun. Oh, yeah, you were here when we played with
it. Yeah, oh, that's right.
Yeah. So I said, I have to get that. And I did. And I'm glad I did. But now Mario Kart, which everybody's been waiting for, is out. It'll come out in a couple of days, but Nathan's had it for a while. He'll have his review. And we're going to answer your questions and on and on and on. But first, let's say hello to somebody who is at the Facebook Developers Conference, F8. And I bet he was very excited because it was a lot about augmented reality. There he is, Robert Scoble.
What's up?
What are you wearing, Robert?
A HoloLens. Since you got the Meta guys on, I figured I'd get the full
Monty. That's the Microsoft one, yeah.
Yeah, mixed reality devices.
So Robert has taken a victory lap because for the last year plus, he started writing for Upload VR, and he's doing a lot of coverage in VR. But for the last year plus, he's been saying it's AR, it's going to change the world. Apple is going to be the AR company when their new phone comes out in September. We still don't know about that. In fact, I have a bet with Robert about whether...
Oh, this is interesting.
You're not the only one.
Robert was adamant that the new iPhone would be clear and be augmented reality focused. And you know what? After Facebook's announcements, I think it's pretty obvious that augmented reality, at least using the camera on a smartphone, is absolutely here. Some people complained that Facebook was copying Snapchat. How do you feel about that?
Well, they came out on the same day, so how did they copy them?
They came out one day later, but obviously they've been working on it.
Facebook, you don't come up with a developer tool set like they have in one day. And so they're both working on it, and they're not alone. Facebook, Google, Apple, Snap are all working on this stuff. So
the idea being, at least, you know, it's somewhat different from what we're going to see later with Meta and what you have with the HoloLens. Your phone is the AR device. Your camera is the rear camera is picking up the world around you, and the phone is superimposing stuff on top of it. And if you've used Snapchat filters, it's kind of like that.
Or Project Tango, the phones from Lenovo.
But what I really took away from F8 is the expansiveness of Zuck's strategy and the tooling. The AR studio that they showed off, where you create these augmented reality experiences, I guess, is really well thought through. I was really impressed by that.
So you talked a little bit to Mark, too, did you not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's working on mixed reality glasses. He figures they're 2 to 4 years away. And he's investing a lot of money in this field. The Oculus Rift purchase was the first step to get Facebook into this new world.
Well, the story goes that 3 years ago, Mark saw Oculus and was so blown away with it. They said, I'm buying the... Let me write you a check right here. $3.2 billion, something like that, for Oculus. But Oculus is known for VR. Did he have the vision of AR then? Did they have the vision then?
I don't think so, but you never know what he saw. He went to Stanford's VR lab, and I'm sure they talked a bit about what the implications of immersive media are and where it would go in the future. But it's clear that the world is heating up around AR. And so I'm sure that he switched more of his strategy over to AR recently. And the developer tool shows that it wasn't, you know, yesterday. This has been going on for some time.
Oh, years probably, right?
I remember... Yeah. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No. And if you look at the jobs page on Facebook and others, you're going to see a lot of jobs that are aimed at building mixed reality glasses, optics experts, computer vision experts, AI experts, sensor experts. You know, they're hiring really skilled people, and there's a ton of jobs if you have those skills. So I bet wages are going up for certain kinds of engineers in Silicon Valley.
I was going to say, I remember seeing some of the social VR stuff at the Oculus Connect back in the fall. But I think what was just sort of interesting is the way we've been seeing all this AR in little ways permeating around. I mean, like, for instance, now on the Samsung phones, you have the little AR effects that are built into the camera
app. You have the Bixby Vision, so you can... And I tried it, by the way. I pointed at a product in Bixby.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of the Amazon Fire Phone. I mean, that was famously a feature on the Fire Phone.
But people are... I mean, I see people catching on. They like it on Snapchat. They like it in the different...
You know what did it? Pokemon Go.
That was definitely the beginning of it. Yeah,
that's
definitely
the first...
Yeah. That certainly woke people up because they figured out that the market is aware of AR now and is interested in it. And you're going to see a lot. It's not just one thing. the reason I wrote my book on AR is I'm seeing this across the industry, and it's a massive amount of investment. You know, Google bought in on Magic Leap, right? They invested, a good chunk of the first $500 million of investment in Magic Leap, who is also building these glasses. And Google has its own team. They bought a company called iFluence that's doing a really interesting eye sensor system and an operating system to let us look at things in the world, and menus will spray off of those things. So the next few years are going to be pretty incredible. What Facebook showed was just a little taste of what's coming. We're not to the promised land yet. You know, we're not all wearing glasses yet, me included.
I'm glad you mentioned the book, because this is proof positive that you saw this coming. The book with Shel Israel is The Fourth Transformation. Yeah, there it is.
There it is.
Look at that. That's so realistic. It's almost like it was floating in space in front of you. So Robert's really been working and thinking about this for some time now. They also handed out the 360-degree camera. I know you've tried all of these. I've seen your Giroptic. This is the Giroptic 360, which is just a few hundred dollars. Works with an iPhone.
upside down.
Which one's your favorite of these?
I think of the sub $300, you know, the sub $500 ones, the Giroptic gives better color. The Insta360 has a few more features. You can control the contrast and the brightness on them a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, these are a new range of cameras, and you can live stream to Periscope or Facebook Live with these now, and that's a change in the last week. Facebook just turned that on about a week ago.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Although. We've had that on YouTube for a while, too, right? I mean, that's not...
Yeah, but Facebook is where I see the engagement.
Right.
You know, I want to see this built into the phone, though.
Yeah, this
needs to be built into the phone.
And by the way, this is getting hot.
Oh, really?
This is getting really hot. Well, and also Samsung, which shipped its new S8, is shipping. This is last year's Samsung 360 camera, which I thought was very good
year. Yeah, it's still very good.
They've got a new model. I think Robert has it. They've got the new model that you can...
I don't, but Upload does.
Upload has it.
And it's the sharpest of the ones.
It's 4K.
Yeah.
It's 4K, and it works with the Apple products now. The one you have in your hand doesn't work with iPhone.
Only Samsung.
Well, you know, and I think that this is interesting because it kind of ends up in the same pool as AR and VR, but it is a different beast. 360 immersive video is kind of a different beast.
Did you see the new Facebook cameras? Because they're doing something different than those cameras are.
More money, too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. But that all comes down. Remember, I took the first 360 video at Coachella, three or four years ago.
I do remember that.
$6,000 to do what you're basically holding in your hand right there for $300.
Right.
But those only capture pixels all the way around, spherical pixels. The new Facebook cameras actually capture the light field, so you can actually move around inside the image, and that's stunning. It really is stunning. So we have a new kind of camera coming, and innovation is not dead, you know?
Nokia made that Osmo camera. That was, I think, $60,000. It's come down in price. This will obviously be the next generation. Does Facebook make these, or did they just do a spec that other people can make?
A spec that they're using off-the-shelf cameras, and we'll see if Facebook actually manufactures it. I doubt it, but
they don't want to be in that business. Yeah.
No, there's plenty of companies that'll actually build the physical product. But
last year, it was all about bots. And I felt like they put bots on the back burner. There are a lot of bots, almost 100,000 bots now.
Yeah.
And they did talk a little bit about bots. Do you think bots are continuing, or is this a flop?
In fact, I'm playing with a bot that Ben Parr and his team made for me, or Matt Schlicht over at Octane.ai. It's just a little early for the average consumer to talk to things through the bots, and I think that's sort of why it's muted, and it's not as sexy as augmented reality, right? It's hard to show that off. I mean, once you show off somebody talking to Visa and asking what's my Visa card balance,
you're done.
It's hard to take that concept much further. Mm-hmm. I think when we are all walking around with glasses on, that then we're going to be really talking to the Siri or Cortana or Alexa a lot more, and that's where bots really become interesting, I think. But right now, marketers are really interested in bots because it saves them money. If you call a business and ask a question, yeah, it can cost $100 just to answer one phone call, and bots can answer that question a lot cheaper. So that's part of what's going on.
And really, it's two technologies that sort of interlinked, but that are together, I think, going to change everything: augmented reality and artificial intelligence and machine learning. And that, I would agree with you. I mean, you call AR, VR the fourth transformation. I think 4.5 is ML and artificial intelligence. And together, I think we're seeing a whole new paradigm for computing. Intelligence everywhere. Oh, you also include AI
right
there
on the cover. Okay. AI is really important. And what's going on is the self-driving car teams are basically doing the same kind of work. And so if you think about the kind of work that that the self-driving car needs to
do. It's the same, isn't it? Yeah, it's both.
It's very similar.
Yeah.
It's similar. And in fact, I expect Google, when they get into the glasses business, they're going to use the data from the self-driving car in the glasses. So you're going to be looking around the world and it is going to recognize things. This, by the way, this is how it really needs to work. The HoloLens doesn't quite work this way. You know, the HoloLens has four sensors on it that see every surface in your room and can lay things on top of like a table or something, but it doesn't really know it's a table. And as it gets smarter about what's in your world, it can be smarter about laying artificial things on top of the world. And you'll see this get much better.
Yeah. We're going to, as you know, talk to Ryan at Meta in just a second about their basically HoloLens competitor, which is a lot less expensive and available now for developers.
And they have certain advantages and disadvantages, right? The HoloLens is all self-contained. There's no tether to a PC, but that means that Meta has the ability to have a really big NVIDIA card.
Yes.
And spray a lot more polygons on your eyes. And if you're really going to work in these all day long, and there, by the way, when I visit, there's a lot of people working and coding in the Meta headsets now. So this is what's why I'm so bullish about it, because it really does change how you work.
Right.
Because you can have as many virtualized screens, big screens around you as you want. And that lets you code differently. It lets you watch TV differently. And then we haven't even started talking about all the holographic stuff that is going to be laid on top of your world soon. But it really is a cheaper way to get a lot of screens, right? So now I don't need five physical screens in front of me that cost $1,000 a piece. I can buy one pair of glasses and get as many screens around me as I want.
One advantage Facebook has with their bots, at least they're cross-platform, they're Android and iOS. And you were telling me that Spotify and Apple Music both are going to be
in Facebook Messenger.
As a bot. So I'm going to say, hey, play me a song in my Messenger?
Well, it's sort of like talking to a Alexa. And by the way, I'm probably setting off a
say mouse. Echo. Say Echo. Yeah. That's our new policy. We always say Amazon.
Or Hey G for the group.
But we can play Skrillex, you know. You say Echo, play Skrillex on Spotify, and all of a sudden Skrillex is playing. Or play house music, or play, you know, classical music, and all of a sudden
it feels
music.
Like it's a play for kids. Like, this is the
I think about the social aspect. That's what I think with it, is when you're hanging out in a chat with somebody. Because I'm doing this right now in Slack.
Our chatters do this in the evening. They have music night, and they play videos for each other.
Yeah, it's an interactive way to hang out, especially now because, like, we're so busy. That's why I like the idea of the social VR, because I told some of my girlfriends about that who are not technophiles. And
they get it, and they like it.
Yeah, my friend was saying, I can't wait to hang out with you in a virtual world when I'm too busy to see you.
Speaking of which, they also announced Spaces, which is an Oculus Rift social world. You can hang out with your friends. Nathan and I are going to bring in our Oculus workstations, and we're going to try this. This seems really dopey to me.
I wish I could come hang out with you guys there.
It's really pretty interesting. The problem is nobody's on it, so it's like the internet. If the internet, if there was only three people on the internet, it would be useless, right?
Right.
But the fact that there's billions of people on the internet,
well, come over and be in our space.
I don't have an Oculus.
We're going to set up our spaces. We can. I just feels like this makes sense if you're geographically very far away. You can hang out with friends.
No, yeah. I disagree. It is really fun to be in there and working with somebody in Messenger. It's a new kind of Skype, basically.
Really?
And it really is it's something special. But it's a couple of years away before it has all of Facebook in there. One piece of it brings in all your pictures, and it's really amazing to look at your pictures that way. But it's slow. It doesn't have all of them. It doesn't have your news feed in there. It doesn't have a lot of things to do, and there's no people in there yet. Now, you could call somebody on a regular messenger, and that's cool. They show up over here as a virtualized phone, and you can see them on their video, and you can talk to them, and that's cool. But
you don't have to hold it up and get all tired from holding up the phone.
No, you just change it virtually. It's a virtual it's a virtual phone that you can drag and put over here, and then you just, hey, Leo, what's going on, and talk to him.
Well, this is why we have you on, Robert. You live in the future. We're just watching from afar. And yeah. And he has a vision of the world.
It sounds
and
exciting.
Yeah.
It sounds fun.
It is fun, and the industry is coming out with so much innovation so quickly. Heck, we haven't even talked about Rick and Morty that came out this week.
Oh, yeah,
we haven't really gone into the snap. There's a lot to go into on just what came out this week.
Right. Well, the place to go. Where can people find your stuff? Scobalizer?
Facebook.
That's where
I'm on Twitter and LinkedIn, but Facebook.
My friend Gary, who, as you know, worked in virtual reality 20 years ago, was so excited by all your videos from F8. He said, this is what we were talking about 20 years. It's happening.
And it is happening.
Yeah,
because
it's very exciting.
Things are getting smaller, and that's going to bring more and more people. Every time it gets smaller, you're going to see the market share go way up and the sales go up.
He's the Scobalizer. Follow Robert Scoble, Scoble, on Facebook. And don't forget the book, The Fourth Transformation. It's all about how augmented reality and machine learning are changing our world. Thank you. By the way, show that again, because this is Robert's face, a voxel edition of Robert's face. He had himself scanned. And was that at South By you did that?
That's actually not voxels. That's polygons. It's photogrammetry. No, this was at a company called Dube. In fact, they made me a 3D model.
I saw it. Yeah.
It's right here. Look at it.
Let's see.
Oh!
That's creepy as hell.
It is freaky, isn't it?
Oh, my.
It's a little Robert Kendall.
That's wild. It's very accurate.
Yeah, it is.
They stuck me inside 50 cameras and made a 3D model of me, and then they 3D printed me. So the 3D printers are getting really good now. They have color now, and pretty cool. This is not your MakerBot anymore.
The future of dolls. Our children will be playing of dolls of us.
But you know what's interesting is when you first held that up, it felt like augmented reality of him, right?
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
And I have a small one, too, so they made me two of them.
It comes in two sizes.
I got big Scoville and little Scoville.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Thank you, Robert Scoble. Always a pleasure.
See you
later. Wow. Sometimes, do you feel like there are people who live in the future?
I do. Think sometimes, and sometimes I feel archaic.
Yeah. Or maybe some people, if you lived in like the sticks, you might think we live in the future. Right?
That's true.
Well, who was it that said the future's already here, it's just not evenly distributed? I think it was Neil Stephenson.
That's a really poignant. It's a very poignant.
It's good
thing.
Insight.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, and whatever world he's living in, it's not mine. That's for sure. It might be the future.
It will be soon.
It might be. I'm excited. I always love seeing.
Me too.
And we've been through a little bit of a doldrums. I think a little plateau.
We have. It's been kind of sad, and
yeah.
And the rain in California, of course, has also made it.
But it's hard to get excited. We'll talk about the S8 in a little bit, mm-hmm. but it's all incremental. And so it's exciting to see that there is somewhere where things are really moving in an interesting way that is going to change a lot of the world.
Yeah.
And I think artificial intelligence and AR could be as significant as the internet, could change things as dramatically as that. We'll see. Hey, our show today brought to you by something very real world, Blue Apron. the world's largest fresh ingredient in a recipe delivery service. They are amazing. We love our Blue Apron box. Now, we get it every week, but you don't have to. It's not a subscription. You only get deliveries when you want. You go to the Blue Apron site, blueapron.com/NSS. Pick from the menu. They have plans for couples and plans for families. And I think for families, Blue Apron's really special because it gets the kids cooking. It gives them a sense of what cooking means, what ingredients there are, what fresh, delicious food is like. And that's what you want your kids to learn. They can also learn to cook. I'm learning to cook through Blue Apron. I get recipes with exactly the right ingredients to make an amazing meal in about 40 minutes. They're healthful. They're delicious. And they, believe it or not, they cost less than the grocery store because Blue Apron doesn't have all that overhead. So you get it. I think it's inspiring. They don't repeat. So you're going to, you know, no more than once a year are you going to get that recipe. And you might say, well, but I like that. But the thing is, now you know how to cook it. You know what to get. You can. And so really, I feel like I'm getting a repertoire of amazing foods that I can make myself. And because they ship the exact amount of every recipe ingredient, there's no food waste. You get just what you need. Their freshness guarantee promises every ingredient arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. They deliver to 99% of the continental United States. I want you to check it out. Spinach and fresh mozzarella pizza with olives, bell peppers, and ricotta salata. Or sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot, and ginger fried rice. I've learned some amazing bok choy recipes from Blue Apron. And I was very threatened by bok choy and kale, too, for a long time. But I know I should eat more of it. Now I can really do some stuff with it that just blows your mind and makes your mouth water. Parmesan-crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine and roasted broccoli. Or then they have for vegetarians, baby broccoli and fontina paninas with hard-boiled egg and arugula salad. Check out this week's menu. And by the way, get your first three meals free with your first purchase and free shipping if you go to blueapron.com/NSS. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. blueapron.com/NSS. You played with this a little bit earlier.
Did
you like it?
I had a lot of fun.
You had a red mark on your forehead.
Totally
that's how I knew.
It.
That's
it totally
how I knew.
Worth
it's
it.
Gone. It's gone. It's fine. Let's go over and take a look. We're going to see Meta and a brand new augmented reality platform. It's a long walk from
here.
Hi. Hey. Good to see you.
Here's
Hi.
Ryan Pamplin.
Thanks for the demo
he's the
earlier.
VP. Hi, Ryan.
Hey. How you doing, Leo?
Oh, he grew up watching the old screensavers.
It's true.
The old screensavers.
It's true. I remember a lot of the things around here, the old mailbox.
Yeah. The No Place Left to Turn sign, you recognize that? And
I do.
You were a caller on that show.
I was.
How old were you?
Oh, well, I'm almost 30 now. So
you were like 12.
Something like that. I'm glad one of us can do math.
And do you recognize this shirt? No. All right. So this is, I'm really excited about this. This is Meta. Now, this is also, like HoloLens, a developer kit, right?
It is.
So it's not like a consumer product yet.
Even if it was like this today, I don't think it would be a consumer product yet because we're finally at a point now where we have really immersive augmented reality. This happens to be the most immersive in the world by a factor of three, but the software isn't really there yet. So really, 2017 is about getting this into the hands of the tens of thousands of developers that are going to create the applications, the tools, the experiences that are going to make you want to wear this thing all day, and it's going to make it worth having your makeup messed up.
Now, it's okay.
It was worth it. Well, you played with it, wasn't it?
Yeah, kind of cool. It was great. I mean, and of course, I'm not wearing that much makeup, stage makeup.
No, no.
You're playing
Leo's.
VR.
Leo's makeup is what I was talking about.
The makeup that was the worst.
But
yeah.
I mean, it was very comfortable while I was wearing it. I actually didn't want to take it off, but we had to do the show.
Well, so. If you trade me later, Mario Kart, maybe.
So, a couple of things to point out. As Robert did, this is tethered.
It is.
You have a PC or you could have a laptop and a backpack. But that means you can do more with this than Microsoft's doing with the HoloLens. You said three times?
Three times the field of view. So, 90-degree field of view. So immersive that you don't really see the edges. Mm-hmm. So, it's almost like virtual reality on top of the real world.
That's a common complaint with the HoloLens is that even though they show it as a full view, it really is just a postage.
Like a light box.
A letterbox, yeah. So, let's play with this Meta
a little bit.
By the way, the other thing that's different is it's about a third the cost of the HoloLens, $949 for the developer
kit.
This
is true.
How are you getting good take-up? I mean, Microsoft's a big name. They're going to have
more. You know, we actually have more pre-orders for the Meta 2 than there are HoloLenses in the world.
Oh.
So
that's a good sign.
We will have by far the most developers in augmented reality for headsets in 2017 using our platform. And I think it's really because of the cost and the field of view, because we know that's the number one thing people want.
Cost is huge. The HoloLens is $3,500. A hobbyist could get this for $949.
Exactly.
Now, one thing immediately I see, you can wear glasses comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
That's
important
for me.
Yeah, I was noticing that too.
Well, only about 99% of us early adopters wear glasses, so.
That's a nice feature.
Yes.
You don't look too weird.
No,
I look like a bug.
I look pretty cool. You know, I wore it at South by Southwest during all of the festivities. And, you know, it's funny because I wore Google Glass a couple years ago.
Oh, then you looked like a nerd.
People did not like me, especially at Berkeley Bowl. They hated me.
Yeah.
I know.
There's a lot going on at that time.
There was. But I feel like now things are at a different place. You know,
We've accepted it.
People are super interested and excited about the technology now.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's okay to wear cameras on our faces. I mean, essentially what's happening is I'm creating a 3D map of the whole world.
So let me point out what's going on.
Yeah.
So this is like a heads-up display. The plastic here, you see through it. You see the world completely, mm-hmm. but it reflect. But you could project something on it that would be superimposed on the world. You've got on the front 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lenses. Are these?
So you have 2 SLAM cameras here, which is simultaneous localization and mapping. And what Robert was talking about earlier is how self-driving car technology is finding its way into these headsets. And that's mm-hmm. exactly what's happening here, is we're essentially creating a 3D map of the world, and then we understand our position relative to the world. So if I take a holographic, let's say, Twit logo
yes.
and place it right here, yeah. then it's going to stay there. And in fact, let me...
What are the 3 in the middle before we get to
yes,
that?
Yes, so that's the depth sensor. So that's for hand tracking.
Kind of like on a Kinect. It's the 3D...
Exactly.
Sensor. Okay.
So it's giving you the ability to place things and understand sort of the surfaces as well, not just the position of things.
I'll let you log in because you
sure.
need to log into the
I'm going to start this
here.
Thing up
okay.
and I'm going to actually do some calibration.
So we are able to, which was challenging on the HoloLens. We're actually able to, Meta gives you a little more room. We're actually able to see the output of the Meta. I guess it's because we have your PC down here. So right now you're looking at our picture, but you can also see, and you've seen it earlier, what Ryan is seeing, and it's mapping the environment right now. So hold your head steady. So it's figuring out good mapping.
Do I have to stay steady? FYI,
no, you're the environment.
I'm curious.
You're the environment.
Interesting question. You know, you think you're joking, but you're actually asking
yeah.
a great question. So the algorithms are actually robust enough to realize that you are not going to be a stable part
That's
of the environment.
That's a human. They're unstable.
This
the
human's
table,
not
the
stable.
Hand,
yes.
The table's not going anywhere.
So I have this logo here, which is the Meta logo, which looks really cool, and I can look at
oh,
from any angle.
Oh, you can go behind
angle.
It?
I yeah. can.
So
and
in
also
your
occlusion.
We're seeing a 2D version of it, but in your version, you're seeing something floating in your world.
Correct. Correct. And you can interact with these things. You can grab them. You can move them around. And in fact, I actually can show you a much cooler logo than the Meta logo.
Oh, I
there
like that
it is!
Logo.
Look at that.
One of my we didn't when we designed this, we never anticipated anybody be grabbing it in space.
So here you go. So actually, I can hand this over.
You can
to
give
you.
It to me. Wow!
And wow. you can kind of.
I can't
that.
Do anything because I don't have the. but it's on my head.
It's floating
That's
above
cool.
you.
So what you're seeing is Ryan's view. And I have to say, we both tried this before the show, and it really is a full view. You look, it's like you're looking through. Slightly darker lenses, but you see the whole view. You could walk around easily. You could drive with these on, really. You have peripheral vision and everything.
You know, it's
you
funny.
I know, it's not recommended. I'm
it's
sure.
funny you say drive, though, because this is actually one of the things that we really have to think about. Because, you know, at Meta, we're not just designing for the sake of augmented reality.
Mm-hmm.
We want to build the not just the hardware, but the experience, the operating system. And, you know, just putting Windows on my face is really the old paradigm.
Right.
You know, what
That's
we're trying to do.
That's kind of what Microsoft's doing. They got Windows Holographic.
Yeah,
they got menus.
And in a lot of ways, they're doing it to defend their market share.
Right.
You know,
right.
and they're doing it for all the device manufacturers.
Well, I've seen some cool demos like air traffic control, where a controller would have the entire airport sitting in front of him, and he'd see planes moving in and out. And
Enterprise situation for
exactly.
that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think
well, you've got the world in front
I
of
do.
You.
I have the whole world in my hands.
He's got the whole world.
And I can actually, it's got a lot of dexterity with the hand tracking,
wow,
so the ability
cool.
to spin it around, to make it any size I want, And I can move pretty fast, too.
Give me some examples of how this might be used.
So, really, for work, for play, for shopping, for learning, for design, for manufacturing. And in 2017, these are a lot of different areas that the developers are making things in. But some of the immediate use cases that you're going to see massive amounts of adoption in are 3D design. If you are a 3D designer, to be able to plug into your SolidWorks software and automatically have it show those 3D models, that's a killer application. And if you're one of the 2+ million people using that software every day, this is a game changer for you. I had the head of design for one of the biggest automotive companies in the world say to me, it takes me 7 years to go from design to driveway. And with this, you know, now I'm seeing it the day we design it, life-size, walking around it, touching it, interacting with it. And it's collaborative. If you wear it, I wear it. You wear it, we can all see and touch the same
things. Let me ask you that, because we visited the Ford labs about 4 years ago, and they were using, at the time, VR.
Yep.
Why do you think AR would be more appealing than VR?
You got to be able to see each other, you know?
So you could collaborate.
I need to see your eyes. You need to see my eyes. You know, we need to be able to see the same things in the real world together.
Still rely on those cues as human beings.
Could two people be in AR? Yeah. Could I be wearing a
Meta? Absolutely.
So we could be both looking at a model and we could both interact with them?
Correct. We could even draw together.
Oh,
we
so
even
that's
have something that we haven't shown publicly, which is, I'll tell you about it because, you know.
Nobody's watching. That's the good news. Yeah. It's a podcast. You can tell me anything.
We actually have holographic communication today, which uses depth sensors, and I can see a 3D version of you. You can see a 3D version of me, and we can even watch your favorite show. The Bachelor, you told me earlier.
Right.
Right. So
Love
we could that. Watch The Bachelor
together.
So
the together. Rose would just come floating out at it, you.
He knows the rose.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, I know about
he
it.
He didn't actually tell me that, but now he's proven that it is.
Oh, I've revealed
Everybody
the truth.
Everybody has got their own reality TV thing.
And, you know, for learning, oh, my gosh. I had the Minister of Education in China say to me, there are more students in my country than there are people in your country. And I believe all students will use this within the next five years to learn. And he thinks it's going to give his country an edge.
Well, look what he's looking at right now. He's looking at a model. Of the brain. It's got information on it. You can move it around. You can interact with it. You could. We had a International Space Station model earlier. You could actually put your look into the space station.
See if we can put this back where it belongs.
Give me the parietal lobe. I don't need that frontal lobe, though. Impulse control's never been my strength.
There we go. Ah, there it is, right there.
It's a nice hat. I love it.
And we can also look at the space station that we saw earlier.
Yes.
Neat.
And
let's see the car.
And go inside and see.
You could stretch it.
Indeed. So we can get really big.
And see look inside.
Angle. We can even go through it and see, as you mentioned, the interiors.
Yeah.
I wish people at home could get the experience of actually wearing this, because it is somewhat different than looking at it on the screen.
This was the one that really made me a believer, is this one right here. This little, easy little thing.
Let's put the car down there.
Yeah.
And then I can actually stick my head
it's
inside
It's like a
real-life
micro machine.
I can even read the GPS if I shut one eye here.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the thing. You do have to start shutting one eye, which
Why?
Is what I had to do earlier.
Well, if you
earlier.
Get too close.
Yeah.
Just like a real object. If you
natural.
Put your hand too close to your face, you can't really focus on it.
I see.
We weren't made that way.
So these are independent screens, in effect, really, right?
Yeah, it's our own custom optical engine, which does involve a screen
Is
and
it
also a special.
From behind?
Yeah, so it's actually reflecting here and then reflecting into your eyes.
Got it.
So we've invented a new kind of visor.
It's like a teleprompter.
I was
going
to ask about the visor because it looked like, kind of looked like sunglasses-y with the shading.
Exactly. So, you know, you've got the custom optical engine, and we actually had Meta 1 before anyone. We were the first augmented reality device in the market.
That's the one that made Scoble cry.
It was one of the very first ones, and he got emotional about that one.
It's beautiful.
But what was really, I was one of the Meta 1 customers, and what was great about it was I could see holograms. But what was terrible about it was the field of view.
Right.
It was useless in the sense of day-to-day work, right? I couldn't replace my monitor with it.
Right.
So the number one piece of feedback from the 1,000+ developers was, you got to make the field of view bigger. So that's what we did. We hired the best people in the world in optics. We invented this new optical engine, and then we put the sensors together with that. So now I literally, at my desk, in my office, I sit there, my cinema display, 27-inch, sits on the sideline.
I was going to ask,
And I have my Mac actually on a virtual
does
display right in front of me.
Does this work on the Mac?
Officially, not yet, but in my office it does.
Because we know the hologram will never,
right.
the HoloLens will never work on the
Mac.
Yeah,
so we did, when we started taking pre-orders, we did say that we would eventually support Mac. We haven't released the SDK for it yet. What I'm doing is I'm actually streaming my Mac screen to a Windows computer
clever.
And then streaming that on there.
Look at that.
But I'm able to totally replace my Mac screen today, use this all day long, and then I look up and above me, I have the weather clouds and the rain dropping onto my head and the visor if it's raining out. I have my holographic Tesla Model 3 because I'm a Tesla fan sitting on my desk. I have pictures of my girlfriend. These are all things.
How do you feel about that? His girlfriend's sitting there going, yeah, he does. It's sad.
Hey, it's better than a picture on the desk, I will
just
say.
Just imagine if you were watching a show 50 years ago or 40 years ago and somebody said, someday we're going to have mice, we're going to have keyboards, we're going to have screens with windows. And, you know, you'd only seen a computer that was as big as a room and you had to have somebody operate it for you. That's kind of what's happening here. But I don't think it's going to be 30 years. I think it's a few years off.
Yeah. Before.
This is the next generation of user interface.
We're barreling through right now.
It's kind of amazing.
Is the goal to get it, though, down to glasses
size? Oh, yeah, of course. And, you know, our CEO promised on the TED stage about a year ago that he would get this down within 3 to 5 years to a strip of glass over our eyes.
So in the next 3 to 5 years, I'll be able to wear my prescription glasses, but it will have built into it augmented reality capability.
That's the goal. And I think we're going to get there a lot faster than people think. And
I think so. I mean, we already saw the beginnings of that with glass. So we know that like something like that's possible.
And exactly.
We're already sold on that idea.
Yeah, I mean, glass was you know, they actually rebranded it. So it's not augmented reality. It's assisted reality.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a funny thing. But, you know, glass opened the door. And I think in a lot of ways, the reason that we have MR as a nomenclature now is because glass kind of screwed up AR for a lot of the industry. And they wanted to sort of, you know, move away from that.
Yeah.
But, you know, really what this is about is putting a digital layer on top of the real world that's contextually relevant to you, to your friends, to your family, to where you're going, to what you're doing. You know, if I want an Uber, I should be able to reach down to my holographic belt, grab my Uber orb.
Hold on, let me reach into my holographic belt. I love that.
I think those are kind of futuristic ideas, but I think there's also some very concrete stuff.
Yeah.
That, you know, it could be your new user interface. I think the idea of applying information to the world you're moving through, it can be very helpful. You know, once I'm you know, 80 and I see you, it would pop up, that's Florence Ion, you used to know her, and I would say, Florence, great to see you. And I think that those kinds of things, those are not as cool as an Uber orb in your utility belt, but might be more useful. Yeah. Really.
But the Uber orb is the beginning of
or
that,
the other
right?
way around. Yeah.
The little orb.
The software is really what's going to drive adoption.
Yeah.
And you know, what's happening on this platform is not just good for Meta. It's good for Facebook. It's good for Google. It's good for Microsoft.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you know, Magic Leap and HoloLens, these are my friends today.
Right.
And for the next couple of years until we
get to... It's not competitive yet.
Yeah, you know, eventually we'll slit each other's
throats. It's like when podcasting began. Now we hate each other. Brian Pamplin, he's a VP at Meta. Where can people get the developer kit and find out more?
MetaVision.com for $9.49. They can pre-order. Don't charge them until it ships. All the pre-orders will ship within the next couple months. And then get their hands on one of these and start building the future and making their augmented reality dreams come true.
MetaVision.com. Ryan, that is really cool. And boy, at that price, I think you'll see a lot of people who couldn't afford $3,500 be taking a look at AR, because you want to get in this game. This is where the puck is going.
It also really upgrades your fashion. You know, I mean, it goes well.
I think
here.
I look good in it.
I think so.
It's the leather trim. It really adds to it.
Runway ready now. There you go. Look at that.
You know, you say runway ready. Remember, Diane von Furstenberg, she had the Google Glass
the
models.
She did.
And pretty soon, we could be seeing these in some high-fashion
Well, now that
models.
Leo's wearing it.
I think this would look, if you had a motorcycle helmet with these built in, just imagine what life would be like, right?
Oh, that could be really helpful, maybe.
I know.
For a motorcycler.
You could have a rear
alert,
view
alert.
Mirror in
Someone's
the corner.
About to...
Alert, yeah, exactly. And look, I can even read my cards here. Thank you, Ryan. Really, really cool. Really appreciate it.
Such a pleasure, Leo.
Thank you, Ryan.
We
have
the first review. We're very excited. Nathan Olivares-Giles is a fan of the Nintendo Switch, as I am. And he's also a fan of Mario. Who isn't? He was able to get the new Mario Kart 8 and test drive it for us. Take a look.
When the Nintendo Switch came out about a month and a half ago, the only reason to buy one at launch is if you're a diehard Zelda fan. But now there's another reason to go out and get a Switch. It's Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Sure, you can race against AI drivers on your own, and that is a blast, but Mario Kart is a game best played with a buddy or two nearby competing against you. If someone you know has a Switch, you can each play on your own consoles. You can play online with friends as well, and you can play on the same Switch in an old-school split-screen TV mode too. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is essentially a remastering of the Wii U original Mario Kart 8. But even if you had the old version of this game on the old console, the new Switch version is worth its $60 price tag. The graphics have been improved with better lighting and character details, running at a locked 60 frames per second at 1080p docked on the Switch versus 59 frames per second at 720p on the Wii U. Battle Mode, a beloved feature stripped from the Wii U release, is back with 8 arenas and 5 modes. Another upgrade, all the content in the Switch release is unlocked, except for kart modifications you can get by collecting in-game coins and racing suits that you find by using Amiibo. The biggest change may be the ability to carry 2 items while on one course. This will change your strategy when playing the game, allowing you to stock up on attack items, and it also means a lot more banana peels and shells flying around too. There are 42 characters to choose from and 48 tracks to jump into as soon as you start playing. With 1-2 Switch, Snipper Clips, and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, the Switch is well on its way to being a great console for parties. But these aren't the only great games on the Switch. Since launch, we've gotten the platformer Snake Pass, the addicting Graceful Explosion Machine, the brawler Mr. Shifty, the challenging Shovel Knight, and another racing option, Fast RMX. Importantly, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and the growing library of awesome indie games are examples of Nintendo so far keeping its promise of a steady pace of fun new games to play each week. This all makes me hopeful for the future of the Switch, but Nintendo can make the console even better. Nintendo needs to ditch the friends code system that is needlessly complicated. There is still no online voice chat, which Nintendo says is coming later this year. I'd love to see apps like Netflix, Hulu, and YouTube on the Switch, and the best cross-platform games on the Xbox and the PlayStation like Overwatch and Battlefield. They would be awesome on the Switch, but they're not available. And there's no excuse for not having Nintendo's deep library of retro games available on the Switch. Now that Nintendo killed the popular NES Classic, it should start selling its greatest hits of the past today on the Switch. Nonetheless, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is a must-buy if you already own a Switch when it comes out on April 28th. And if you don't have one, it's a great reason to go out and get one if you've been curious about it. I'm Nathan Olivatis-Giles, and you can find me on the new Screensavers every other Saturday and on Twitter, at NateOG.
Thank you, NateOG. See, I bought the Switch mostly for Zelda. And it's a little weird to spend, like, hundreds of dollars on a thing that only plays one, now two games. There are some other games, but those are the games everybody wants to play. But I completely agree with him. No reason. They got to put out an emulator. And now that they... Yes. That must be why they killed the Classic, right? So they could put an emulator yes. out with and put the 30 games or more. Get all the
satiate
games.
Satiate those of us
yeah.
who want our nostalgia to be yeah. fulfilled.
So, speaking of satiation...
Oh, yeah, satiation.
Are you satiated?
Am I satiated? That's a great question.
We waited with bated breath. We saw the announcement a month ago of the Galaxy S8.
We did. We waited until looked after impressive. IFA. Or MWC, excuse me.
A number of people who got early versions or got to play with it. Did you get to play with it?
I did.
Said, I think it was probably you then. This is the most beautiful phone.
It is beautiful.
I love this phone.
It is really pretty.
But now that we've had it in our hot little hands for a couple of days, I have a couple of concerns.
All right.
It ain't perfect, right? So, but let's get the good stuff out of the way right away. It is stunning. This is the
game.
We both have the Galaxy S8 Plus.
In orchid gray.
The orchid grayish purplish.
And they
gray.
Come in 3 colors. So there's a Arctic silver, midnight black, and orchid gray.
And I think that's the right color.
I agree.
Always. It is, of course, because Samsung makes them, a beautiful Super AMOLED display.
I mean, and then you have the always-on display, which...
359 pixels per inch on the S8 Plus. That is a very...
Do you have the...
I'm sorry, 519 pixels. I got it wrong. How many pixels per inch? It's like, it's a lot. I think it's 519.
500-something. It's 500-something.
Yeah. I mean, it is as deep a display as you're going to get. The colors are stunning. It doesn't... am I wrong, Flo, or is the screen not as curved as on the S7 and the Note 7?
I don't think it's as curved.
Feels like I've got more to hold on the edge here.
I mean, you should have more to hold, right? Because look how hard it is to hold it like this.
Yeah, and I didn't, the S7, so... this is not as much of a problem as the S7 was,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
It's a weird aspect ratio. So you have the G6.
I do,
and that
yes.
was also, what is the?
18.5:9. And typical smartphone ratios are 16:9.
So it's a little taller.
Yes, but the Galaxy S8 does a much better job of scaling than the G6 does.
Because Android apps don't expect that aspect ratio.
They don't.
They expect 16:9.
Exactly. And you will see black bars in the apps that are not supported, which is kind of a bummer, but you actually won't really notice it, honestly, as you're using it.
Let me give you an example. Yeah. This is a Ultra HD video on YouTube. We'll go full screen on it. It's a video of Chile. And you can see, now, first of all, you can't see at home, but
it's
looks
so vibrant.
Spectacular. But you can see black bars on either side, although ironically, because this is a bezel-less display, it just looks like a normal display with a bezel. There is also, though, a button on many apps to go full screen. In this case, it zooms the picture. If you have a TV that zooms the picture, you'll understand. It just crops it a little bit.
Still looks good.
We're losing something on the top and the bottom. I don't think I would do it soon. See how it's cut off there?
Look at that snake. It looks so good on there like that.
I wish you could see it at home because it really is vivid.
It's so good.
It's really vivid. That's a YouTube 4K video and I'm streaming over the Wi-Fi here. And I really do think that if you want to watch movies, this is a great phone.
On the train,
except that it has one crappy little downward filing speaker.
It does, and it's not very loud for podcasts, I will say, which is frustrating.
Now, it comes with AKG headphones in the box.
It does.
Nice braided cloth headphones so they don't tangle.
$100 value, I think.
And because it has the adapt sound that earlier Samsung devices, you can tailor it to your hearing curve, which means if you're using headphones, it sounds great.
Yeah.
But you're not going to want to just listen on the plane without headphones. I don't think you'd want to do that. Anyway.
Don't do that. It's rude.
Yeah. And even at the breakfast table where sometimes I will listen to podcasts, it's tinny. It's not loud. So not a great speaker.
Yeah.
But Samsung's never had great speakers. Type-C, yep, we're happy about that. Headphone jack, very happy about that.
And still thin.
Yep. You can see these are the little plastic cutouts because this is glass with metal underneath, right? So they have to give antenna cutouts on the top and the bottom here so that the signal can get out of the phone. $850 on all carriers. There isn't an unlocked carrier-free version yet. Or did you got yours from Samsung. Is yours unlocked?
No, mine's Verizon.
It had to be. Yeah. You had to choose a carrier. I got mine at Best Buy. Same problem. All right. So, you know, there's a lot of good to say about that. Because it's the aspect ratio is tall, it can't easily hold it in hand. Even on this is a 6.2-inch screen. It doesn't feel like a giant jumbo screen. And compare this for size. Compare it to the iPhone 7. This is the iPhone 7 Plus.
Yeah.
It's the screen goes all. It's like there's so much more screen. And as far as the physical, the iPhone's a little bit wider. And the Samsung's just a little bit taller. And thickness-wise, they're about the same. They're close enough.
Yep.
This is a few grams lighter than the iPhone, the Samsung Galaxy S8. So I think in general, if you're comfortable with a larger phone like the iPhone 7 Plus, this will feel great in your hands.
The little one is
even littler.
So this is actually a 6.3-inch Super AMOLED display.
6.3.
This is 6.3.
Oh, wow.
But if you get the smaller one, you're getting a... or is this 6.2?
5.8. I think it's 6.2
and 5.8.
Yeah, I think
there's a lot of numbers going on here, folks.
I know.
Yeah, you'll get a 5.8 on the smaller one, which is quite a deal. And that one's a lot more pocketable than this one.
The face recognition works very quickly, less
secure. It does.
Iris is very quick, works pretty well, but you can't be wearing glasses or, you know, it's a little tricky.
Or you can't do it in direct sunlight either, by the way.
Yeah, but so it does work. But most people are going to want to use fingerprint. And there's where we come to the first problem with this phone. Because they lost the bezel, they put the fingerprint reader on the back. Now, is it just me or does this suck?
It's not good. It's not good, Leo. It's not good.
It's as if they took the old home button and put it on the back. It's right next to the camera. That's problem number
one. It's also a heart rate monitor, by the way. Or the fingerprint scanner doubles as a heart rate, I believe. Or is it the other one?
There's one of these is a heart
rate.
I think that's the heart rate monitor.
All right. Forget what I just said. but it's the fingerprint scanner.
But... I miss it half the time. It's hard to find. Why didn't they just put it like Google does or LG does
in
the middle of the back? That's
great. And you're supposed to use it for gestures too, which is the other thing.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be able to roll down the notification shade
See,
and do a couple thingies.
You can swipe it down and it comes down.
Oh, there you go. See, yours is enabled.
Yeah, and I just swiped up for Samsung Pay.
There you go.
I wish the face were more secure because it's much faster. I find the, but, and you're going to want to use a fingerprint reader anyway for things like Samsung Pay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a disappointment. I feel like they kind of botched it. Is that too strong to say they
botched it? Well, I was going to say that, you know, segueing from that, what else they botched?
What else did they botch?
The actual
Bixby.
Launch of Bixby. Which, by the way, Verizon users, if you're thinking of getting a GS8, you're only going to have half of what Bixby Vision can do, which is the only one of the three parts of Bixby that work. So there's two parts of Bixby that work right now.
One thing, and it does work pretty well, is it'll recognize stuff. So when
yes.
you go in the camera, there's a Bixby button, which that they're a great pains
yeah,
to
so
tell
Bixby
you over
Vision.
And over. And when you tap the Bixby Vision button, this is just like the Fire Phone. I could
mm-hmm.
point this at a product. Let's pick something and point it at this. And it will recognize the product. Point the camera at an object. Then hold your phone steady while Bixby Vision takes a look. Bixby Vision is taking a look. And then you get image and shopping. And I'm going to press the shopping button. We've already pressed the button 3 or 4 times. And did it figure out what it is? No. It thinks
it's okay. I didn't figure out the image
either
of mine either.
Elevative Dance by Gridlox, Lamped USA Lounge by Hoboken, San Antonio Lounge House by Il Greco, or Coast Lounge by Belloc. None of the above. This is the Giro 360 camera. So it completely botched it.
It botched its own Gear 360.
All right. So Bixby is not a shopping assistant. This
yet.
Is what Amazon did with the Fire Phone. Nobody bought the Fire Phone. They also had a dedicated button. Here's my other problem. Okay, I'm going to push the Bixby button, right? This is supposed to launch Bixby.
Bixby live!
Hello, Bixby!
Hello!
Bixby! Hello,
knock,
Bixby!
Knock. Anyone
doesn't
there?
Do nothing. Oh, every once in a
now,
while it works.
Now she came up.
And what do you get? This is the other part of Bixby that is working. The voice assistant is not working, but you are getting, but basically it's
you
Google
have a
Now
feed.
Cards.
It's a little Google Now feed-ish.
Yeah. But mine has all sorts of problems. For instance, I
go.
For some reason it thinks
picture
I'm in Britain.
I took. Spotify playlists. I hope.
I wish I could show you
revealings
mine.
On here.
It's
reminders.
It's
weather.
Giving me news from March on the CNN, even though my CNN app is up to date. Oh, here it finally launched. Hello, Bixby. It's got calendar stuff. You can do reminders. There's a picture I took recently. This is where reminders could show up. You can move these cards around. Weather. Samsung Health works pretty well, but for some reason, this is a March news story still showing up in the feed, no matter how much I refresh it. Twitter timeline. So it's kind of, this reminds me a lot of Google Now cards, but they don't have the information Google does
nope.
about like Waze information, so it doesn't say your commute mm-mm. time. It doesn't, it hasn't shown me where I parked, at least to date. So Bixby is less useful than Google Now. You apparently cannot remap, although people keep coming up with workarounds to get this button to be
yes,
remapped to
as you
Google
do in the
Assistant.
Android world.
Google Assistant's still on here. You can still say, okay, you know who. And what do you say on All About Android?
Oh, it was Guggenflogen.
Okay, Guggenflogen.
And if that triggered your Google Home, I'm really sorry, because that also happened on All About Android this week.
Does it still works? Oh, well. So we got to come up with another name. So the fingerprint reader and the Bixby button... Big, fat fails on what is the most important phone Samsung's ever launched. They've got to overcome the Note 7 debacle. What's your battery life been like? Because I haven't had it long enough.
Oh,
to
it's
really
been
get...
phenomenal. This morning, I left on standby at 20% last night. This morning, I woke up. Well, actually, maybe this isn't phenomenal. But this morning, I woke up, and it was at 3% just hanging
it
on.
It was still alive.
It was still alive. It was hanging on, and I was able to plug it in and everything. Without
I get mind. Pretty decent battery
yeah.
life. It's nothing to... jump up and down, but I get through the day, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah,
and that's unusual when you first get a phone because you play with it more, right?
But this, I mean, this screen is bright and vibrant, and
yeah.
it does suck battery, but this is a 3,500 milliamp battery, so a little more peace
there's
of
enough.
Mind.
I think there's
a little more peace
enough
of mind.
Juice
yeah.
for it. So battery's good. It does support an SD card. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
64 gigs of RAM. That's the only choice you have of the internal
Which
RAM.
Which is good enough.
Good enough. Absolutely. Waterproof.
Yep.
Wireless. And
both
I have
PMA
been using my
Qi.
old Qi charger,
mm-hmm.
And it works just fine. I let it charge overnight. Of course, fast charging, which is
mm-hmm.
very fast. So, you know, it's everything you'd expect. But unaccountably, Bixby wasn't ready. And mm-hmm. this fingerprint reader, surely you tried this, guys, and realized that this just doesn't work. I can't even find it. Where is it? It's there it is. It's just not as fast or as easy to use as either the front-facing fingerprint readers on the old Galaxy phones and the iPhone, or the rear readers on the LG and the Pixel.
So, fun fact, of course, the rumor mill I was talking about what could have been is the idea that maybe Samsung was thinking of building a fingerprint sensor underneath the front.
There is a Force Touch.
The Force Touch haptic feedback home button, so that those of you who really need that from the old phones will still have that.
It doesn't replace it.
It doesn't. And I would have loved to have the fingerprint scanner there, quite frankly. Right. I wish it could live under the display.
So I think what you buy this phone for is the amazing display and the size of the display, even though it's a little stretched. There's no question this is the best.
It's the hot new thing.
Best looking display on the market. And I would agree with many who say this is the best looking phone on the
market.
It's
so pretty.
No carrier logos, which is good, but you still have the Samsung logo on the back. And by the way, no camera bump. That's smooth because, and good for you, Samsung, figuring out how to get that 12 megapixel camera. It's a little bit improved over last year's 12 megapixel S7 camera. It's a really good camera. And of course, Samsung has to load the camera with all sorts of goofy things, including Snapchat-style filters.
They're face masks.
Face masks. Sorry. Sorry. And
I wonder
text.
If Snapchat filters is copyrighted, I'm wondering.
They call them face masks?
Yeah. At least that seems to be the name in the Galaxy App Store there are different filters. But you can't, interestingly, use them more than once at a time. More than one at a time.
You can't combine them.
Yeah, you can't combine them.
All right. It does shoot RAW.
It does.
Which is nice. If you have an SD card, you can... you can't put the RAW on the SD card. It has to go to the internal memory.
But well, 64 gigs.
That's life.
It'll be fine.
That's life. I like the camera. I'll be using that a lot.
In the Galapagos.
In the Galapagos. I will. What do you think? I feel like this was Samsung's last big... It was so important for them for two reasons. One, after the Note 7... flop. They had to show people they could make a great phone that didn't blow up. And I'm sure this won't blow up.
No.
I hope not.
No.
No, I think they've solved that. And this was their chance to get in their licks before Apple comes out with the iPhone 8 or 10 or whatever the next iPhone
is. Well, we still have a Note 8 coming down the line.
And we will have a Note 8. And last year they announced right before Apple announced.
So, summertime.
Yeah. But the Note 8 will be this, but with a stylus.
Yes, precisely. Yeah.
I don't see a lot of... this will be... So, actually, I guess the real question is this the Android phone to have?
Yes, but I have to be honest. I'm having a really hard time letting go of my Pixel right now. I'm still using the Pixel as a daily driver.
It makes the Pixel look like a 1958 Ford Fairlane.
It does, but I'm just so used to the Pixel, and I'm still kind of accidentally bumping stuff on the screen. I'm getting used to daily life. You know, I keep the Pixel on me, and then I haven't put my SIM card in this just yet.
I can't decide. I really can't. This fingerprint reader may be the showstopper for me, because I need the Pixel. You just pick it up, and it unlocks. And because the fingerprint reader is in the right spot. This one is not in the right place, and it's not the right shape.
Have you accidentally bumped the camera, and then when you
Every
turn
time.
The camera on, it goes, you need to clean the lens, otherwise it's not going to work.
It does have a convenient reminder.
It does. I know you mistook me for
I see your fingerprint.
Sensor,
yeah.
But actually, I'm the camera. Please wipe me.
Yeah. How about durability? Of course, you've got a case on yours.
Durability is... questionable at this point.
I dropped my S7 on the first couple of days, cracked it immediately.
You did.
So I made sure to have a little plastic sheath.
I did have some scratches on the review unit, by the way, that I just sent off to a colleague.
Oh,
so I am concerned, but you know, you can't really tell first week, I guess, with it.
If the Pixel looked like this with a good fingerprint reader, then it'd be a no-brainer. But the Pixel looks kind of clunky. It works very well. It's pure Android. This has the best screen anywhere, but a clunky fingerprint reader and a Bixby button that has no apparent purpose.
It's very fingerprinty as well. You're going to...
Oh, yeah.
Just touching it, your fingerprints will stay on there. Yeah. I mean, that's why I keep wiping this on my sweater.
by the way, the Snapdragon 835 in here is very fast.
First phone with the chip inside.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's, I guess a big deal. The international versions will have Exynos.
Still Gear VR, and we've got new one too, which is right behind
us. We
should
show you. We got
Yes, that's unopened. This is the box.
This is the, and many of you, if you buy now, your carrier will provide this.
Mm-hmm.
This is
for free, I think until April 30th?
Yeah. So it's, you know, we brought out the old Gear VRs, which are no longer functional because they use the micro USB connector. You need a Type-C connector for this. And it comes as the Daydream did from Google. And I think this is a big deal. It comes with a little remote.
It's kind of a variant of the Oculus remote. It's got this little trigger up here on the top. And it's, you know, the trackpad on it and the button.
Mine hasn't come, so I haven't tried it yet. But it looks a little bit more comfortable. It's got, like the Daydream, it's got a nice soft felty thing. It has a wider view than the Daydream.
It does.
So that might be a selling point as well if you like virtual reality. I don't know. I'm torn. I wanted to say this is the best phone ever made, right? And I'm afraid I can't
that
give it
those honors.
That changes
so quickly, right? I mean, that's a hard label to make.
I think I'll probably stay with this and not go back to the Pixel, but I'm not. It's not a no-brainer.
I'm there with you.
Yeah. So, thumbs up?
Thumbs up, absolutely.
A good job?
It's a Samsung phone. I mean...
Yeah, it's a Samsung phone. Some people are positive, some people are negative. Well, you could find out more about this every week on All About Android with Florence and Ron and Jason, 5 p.m. Tuesdays, Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern.
5-ish p.m. Tuesdays.
Whenever they get around to starting the show. Actually, it's not their fault. It's that Jason Howell guy who slows things down with his TNT show right before. I'm just teasing. Same Jason. Get it? Anyway, All About Android Tuesdays. I'm sure you'll be talking about this a lot. And then you had the G6, you had this. We're all very interested in what Andy Rubin's doing with his Essential phone, which is also supposedly a new Android bezel-less design. But when is that? We don't know.
I don't know. So now we were just really busy, and now we're going to go into a quiet time in Android, which I'm really looking forward to. So everybody,
just
get some
quiet time.
We'll be back in a little bit with probably a bunch of more things that are happening.
Speaking of quiet, do you breathe?
I do breathe every day.
Turns out we all have to, but how you breathe and when you breathe is important, and Georgia Dow explains.
Hi, I'm Georgia from iMore.com, and right now I'm going to be talking to you about the Breathe app on the Apple Watch. You know that annoying reminder that we get every once in a while to telling us to breathe? Well, I'm going to be explaining why that's really important. So if you're dealing with anxiety, often you're going to be doing these short chest breathing. And that makes us feel like we're more anxious because that's the same type of breathing that we do when we're running away from a tiger. So what the Breathe app does is it teaches you to slow down and take a moment to relax. So let's run it through together. So if you want to activate it on your own, simply go down to the Breathe app, press the button, and say to breathe. Now, what's going to happen to you is it's going to train you to do deep belly breaths. So what you're going to want is to breathe in slowly from your nose, with your belly coming out, hold for a moment, and then exhale. So why don't we do this together? So start the Breathe app. It's going to tell you to be relaxed and calm, pay attention to your breathing, and then as you feel it tapping, you're going to breathe in. Hold for a moment, and then slowly exhale through your mouth. Now, the wonderful thing is that at the end, it's also going to tell you what your heart rate was. So it's going to be tracking if you're getting better at doing your deep breathing, because this is something that you should practice, and if you can, every day. Now, I've set mine to do 4 breaths a minute, but you may choose to change that depending on how great your lung capacity is. So hopefully you enjoyed this tip, and it makes you feel calm and relaxed throughout the day. I'm Georgia, and if you like this, you can check me out at Georgia_Dow. On Twitter, of course. You can also check out our videos, anxiety-videos.com.
I didn't realize she's a colleague of yours. She works at Mobile Nations alongside of you and Android Central.
Yep. Yeah.
Nice. Thank you, Georgia. Come back and visit us again sometime soon. You ready for a call for help?
Yeah,
let's do it. We got a video. This is a good one. A video from Ed in Detroit. Watch.
Hi, my name is Ed. I like Windows and I like Android. But right now I'm looking for Chromebook recommendations. My ThinkPad just died, and while I have a PC I can use at home, I'm looking for something to carry around and type on. My thing is, it's hard to justify the purchase of any of the nicer Chromebooks when I have basically no experience with the OS, and the demo they have in the stores is pretty terrible. For instance, my ThinkPad Yoga, which is this guy over here, that cost me $450 when I bought it 3 years ago. Now, you might recognize $450 as the same price as the Samsung Chromebook Plus. The difference is that that ThinkPad had an order of magnitude greater storage than the Samsung. It ran Steam and all of my music production software. It has the same amount of RAM as the Samsung, and it didn't make me deal with that like googly feeling from when you flip the convertibles backwards and you have the keyboard on the back of it. And it's, like, it just feels googly. I don't know, googly is the only word I can think of to describe that feeling. You know, no pun intended. Meanwhile, the Chromebook Plus can run Android apps, you know, kinda, and I have no idea what its offline capabilities are going to end up being. The value proposition just doesn't seem to be there. But when I look at the less expensive Chromebooks, I can't help but to fear for the performance, you know? I mean, I regularly have at least a few dozen Chrome tabs open at any given time, and just because I'm mostly typing and searching the web, I don't really want to deal with like the slowdown that might occur from having a machine that has less RAM than the Samsung phone I'm using to record this. So basically what I want is like a burner, but like a burner laptop, but not like a useless POS burner, you know? And every time I look at the Chromebooks, I can't get over the feeling that it's still a better value to just get the equivalently priced Windows machine. So, what do you suggest? Thanks for listening.
Bye. Ed, this guy's the next YouTube star. I love this
guy. Thank you, Ed. That was awesome. And that is, I mean, whenever you're spending a bunch of money, you want to make sure that you're spending money on the right thing, right?
Now, you have what many consider, he mentioned the Samsung mm-hmm. Chromebook Pro
and
Plus.
Close it up here and hold it up for you.
You have what many consider the best Chromebook on the market.
Stickers.
It's one of a number. This is the Asus C302.
CA. Yeah.
It's all unibody aluminum. This one is the 4 GB version with the M3 processor. It does
easily.
That 2-in-1. He thought that was googly. He doesn't like having the keyboard on the bottom like that.
I like it. I like having that, cross compatibility. I'm not going to use this as a airplane tablet, but
the Chromebook market has divided itself into really two tiers. There's the I don't know why they call them business Chromebooks, and Dell and HP and other yeah. companies make these. These are more than $500, usually around $700.
Traditionally PC makers, right?
No touch screen usually in the business ones. I'm not sure I understand why that is, and usually just normal laptop form factor, none of this 2-in-1 flipping around. But they do have more RAM typically and mm-hmm. faster processors. And that justifies the price. And then there's the really cheap consumer laptops, Chromebooks are $200, $230. Those are pretty junky feeling. These are kind of in between, around $300.
This was $500 on Amazon.
Whoa. So that's what the that's what the Samsung Chromebook Plus was.
Yeah.
So he's looking at the Chromebook Pro. What do you think? We haven't seen that yet.
I haven't seen it. I know it's been reviewed and
but it's not available.
Yeah,
you
but
can't
it's not
buy
available.
It. And this one's going to have a higher end model with more RAM and a faster processor. That's what I'm waiting for. But of course, Ed, if you feel like this is googly, I don't think he means googly like in Google. He means googly like it makes my skin crawl googly. You know, you don't like having, and I agree, it's a little weird to be using a tablet, and if you put this on the ground, the keyboard types and stuff like that.
The keyboard does not type, no, because as soon as you lock that down, the keyboard cannot be used.
I do think these have great keyboards and great touch. Is the touchpad good on this?
The touchpad is not good. So that's the thing that you're going to have to contend with, which is why you want a touchpad, a touchscreen.
I like it. This has a touch screen.
Yeah.
The Samsung will have a touch screen. The higher end version of this.
You will have to contend with this, though, is a lot of issues with the Android apps right now.
See, it crashed.
Yeah.
And in fact, you were saying that when you run Android apps, it frequently will crash the whole thing?
So what happens is the screen will go blank and then all my apps will just refresh.
And you've lost writing
because
of that?
I lost writing yesterday because I didn't save. Silly me. I was writing in the CMS.
See, you should never lose anything. Oh, you were writing in
a webpage. I shouldn't have done that. But what happened was it refreshed Chrome. So all the tabs got refreshed and I didn't save in the CMS. So I lost everything.
It feels to me like a Chromebook should be, one of the things about a Chromebook, you should never lose anything. Like it's designed for basics.
If you work in Google Docs, yes.
He wants a burner, but not a useless POS, whatever that's.
This isn't useless.
Point of sale burner. What would you suggest? If you can get over the Googly, I think the Asus is a
I think this one, absolutely. And the Android apps thing that's happening right now, again, they're still beta. You actually have to go into developer mode to be able to use them.
What's the best cheap? I think that's what he really wants, the $200 to $300 range.
I think it's one of the Samsung ones, isn't it?
No, the Plus and the Pro are both $500 too, just like this.
I could have sworn there was a $200 Samsung.
Well, they're older ones, yeah. Absolutely. And Acer makes some inexpensive ones. Acer makes pretty good hardware. HP, believe it or not.
Yes, I have heard the HP Chromebooks are really good.
I think they're good. They make both a business and a consumer. Mm-hmm. So I have in the past always poo-pooed HP because they made really bad stuff in the past. But now that they've split off into two divisions.
Oh, yeah, the $200 11.6.
Yeah, this is the business one that we're looking at, the 13-inch. That's $509.
There's an 11.6-inch HP Chromebook on Amazon for $188.
Those are fine. That's a good burner.
4 gigs of RAM, 16 gigs of storage, so it's not... That's a burner.
But he mentioned he wants a lot of Chrome tabs open, and that's where 4 gigs will help.
Yeah.
Actually, I personally would love to see 8 gigs, and that's why I'm going to buy a more expensive Asus when those come out. Hey, Ed, it's great to talk to you. I think you got a future if you want to do YouTube videos, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you, Ed. If you want to answer your tech questions, you want us to answer your tech questions, we'll be back next week. Ian Thompson will be my co-host. Here's how you can get on the show.
Need tech help? The new screensavers are here with answers. Email your tech questions to newscreensavers@twit.tv.
What did you say? I can't hear you.
Is that an AirPod?
What? What? No, it's not a Q-tip. It's an AirPod. And apparently, it's even better than a Q-tip for getting the wax out of your ears. Megan Maroney will tell you how to keep them clean.
It's okay. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Earwax is healthy. We all have earwax. It's normal. It's good for you. It's what keeps out water and bacteria and flying insects. We need it. But we don't need it on our AirPods. I am going to show you how to clean all that earwax off your AirPods. First, gather all your tools. I have many different choices here. You might look at your AirPods and think, they're fine, there's no earwax here. You want to take a closer look. One way you can do that is with the 10x zoom on your iPhone. Ew. So let's start with the easiest thing to clean with, water. Now, AirPods are not waterproof. Apple really says nothing is waterproof. But there have been people that I read online who have accidentally left them in their pocket and run them through the washing machine, and they worked fine. There's other people who have accidentally run them through the washing machine, and then they were ruined. So you don't necessarily want to run them through the washing machine on purpose unless you have an extra pair laying around. But a little water wouldn't hurt. So I have cold water and warm water. Cold water might work just fine. Warm water will probably loosen up the wax a little bit. So let's try this. Just a Q-tip and some warm water. Rub it around there. Now let's take a look and see what that did. A little bit better. Not great. You might want to use a screen cleaner. This is called Whoosh. It's non-toxic. That's why I like it. You can get it on Amazon. It comes with a cloth. You can spray it on the cloth. Don't spray it directly on the AirPods. You can maybe use another little tool like tweezers to try to push it around in there. You can also use alcohol, or you can try to pick it out with a staple or a toothpick. Any of these might work. But I've had the most success with Fun Tack. It's also called Blue Tack. It's the little stuff that's like chewing gum, but it's not actually chewing gum. You pull off a little piece, and then you usually use it to mount things on the wall, and then it doesn't stick to the wall. What it does stick to is earwax, I have found. So you just smush up a little piece, and then you stick it on the ear pod, and then pull it off. I've tried this a lot, and I haven't had it stick to any part of the ear pods. Now, let's take a picture. Pretty clean. And then you can always use the spray to clean the rest of the AirPod that doesn't go in your ear. And don't forget to clear out the AirPod case. Easiest way to do that is with a Q-tip. Some people have tried actually soaking their AirPods in water with an abrasive like Alka-Seltzer or something like that. I'm not going to try that with my AirPods, but I will try it with Jerry's EarPods. First, we'll check to see if they, how the earwax is doing on his. Looks pretty clean. So let me know. Tweet at me at Megan Maroney if you have a technique that I didn't mention today. Some people also said the dishwasher. I don't recommend that either. I am Megan Maroney. I host iOS Today every Monday and Tech News Today with Jason Howell every Monday through Friday.
AirPods are not supposed to be waterproof, but apparently Ryan says he dropped his in the sink the first day and they worked fine. I wouldn't recommend that, though. And, but Jerry, yours are still working even though she put them in the sink?
Yeah.
Get a little Polident. That's the denture cleaner. Then you'll sterilize them as well as clean them. All right, Jerry, fire away. It's mailbag time. Here comes the mailbag. And I understand, I'm very excited about this. It's all the rage with the kids. At Starbucks, you know, they have this new unicorn drink. And I understand that they went to Starbucks to get us a unicorn drink, and that's what's left.
Oh, I guess they're sold out.
Just a little bit of ice.
Jerry, there's the evidence.
That is disgusting. That is 70 grams of sugar?
Yeah. It's as many as how many? 7 Snickers bar? No, they're not that, actually, or something.
Yeah. All right, pick.
Indeed.
Pick, they're a little damp, but go ahead and pick your question.
Hmm.
Don't try to read. Okay. No, you were trying to read through it.
I did. I'm sorry.
Now I have to shuffle them. All right. She's trying to see.
I was.
What, is there a better question?
All right.
No, you
okay.
Start.
All right. Leo and Flo, please explain to me the that's me. Please explain to me the difference between the Moto G 4th Gen, Moto G XT, Moto G 4 Play, Moto Z Play, and Moto X XT. What's the difference between these, and which one do you recommend? I'm looking to step up from a Galaxy S3 and move on from Samsung. I would like something close to a true Google phone without breaking the bank. Please help, Stu.
Boy, I'm glad you're here.
Me too. So,
because I know that they're, the G is their low cost and the Z is their high cost,
yes.
Their flagship.
So Moto X doesn't exist anymore. That was Lenovo Motorola or pre-Lenovo Motorola.
That was Google Motorola.
So goodbye. The Moto G is the original that came out in 2013.
Isn't
so
there a G5 any minute now?
I was gonna say if you really want to save money, you could buy the Moto G 4th Gen, and they come in different sizes with different processors. And
I think the Gs are great, though.
They are.
If you want to get a pretty nice Android phone for under $200, mm-hmm. I have no hesitation in recommending this. What do you sacrifice? Screen quality's not great. Camera's not as good as a flagship phone, but it's good enough.
Yeah.
And it is a very clean interface. I like the Motorola editions, right?
I do like them as well. Yeah. And I really, even under Lenovo. And, of course, the Moto G5 also has a much better camera, better mid-range processor. So maybe you do want to check that out just because it's the latest.
It's also $50 more.
It's $50
more. Is it out now, though? Can you get... Oh, yeah, buy now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I believe, it comes in a Plus version as well.
Now, the Z is actually pretty amazing. They make the Z Pure and the Z Play. If you're buying in the U.S., you're going to get the Z Play, I think.
Yep.
And that is probably the best battery life of any Android phone on the market today.
And they have mods, which might sound silly, but they're not. And I just got my husband on the Moto Z Force, and he likes the mods.
Those are those things you magnetically attach to the back.
They don't fall off. Some of them add extra battery, extra features.
They have a speaker system for one. They have a projector, a Pico projector, so you can do PowerPoints from your phone.
I believe it was a Hasselblad.
There was, and I've heard it's not a great, not much better, but the idea is there. I like the Snap-ons, and they have pledged that they'll continue to make those for some time.
And there's a mid-range variant if you want to save some money.
Yeah. I like the Z, but it is not cheap. The G line is their inexpensive line. The Z line is more like flagship price, like $700, $800. Yep. But if you want great battery life, a better camera... Still not Pixel iPhone.
Not Pixel iPhone or Samsung level, but, that's what filters are for.
Yeah, I think, right. And I think, frankly, I like what Moto does with their phones. Even after they got sold to Lenovo, I think they've, it's still the
nice
Chicago
phones.
Team running this. It's the folks that were running it when they were with Google. Email 2 comes from Luke. I was wondering if you could explain the purpose of PayPal. What is it? Is it more secure than a regular credit card? I'm debating creating an account for online shopping.
Oh, man, I love PayPal.
So PayPal, you have to understand, started before anything else was around, you know, almost before people used credit cards online. It was originally designed, and the PayPal mafia include Elon Musk, yep. Peter Thiel, who else started with PayPal? I mean, it was some of the biggest names in technology today started PayPal almost 20 years ago. And it really what it was about was, I think, micropayments and supporting online payments. We, from the very first of Twit 12 years ago, started taking tips through PayPal. What it is now is a little bit changed. They got acquired. eBay bought them. And what PayPal is kind of now is a credit card servicing company, not so very different from our sponsor, mm-hmm. Stripe, or not Stripe, our sponsor is Square, but Stripe or mm-hmm. Square. They're very similar to those. They do let you have an account and store money in your PayPal account. And some people complain about that because PayPal is pretty quick to shut your account down or at least freeze the assets if they think you're up to no good. And I know many people whose assets were temporarily frozen incorrectly. And so that could be a cause for concern. So I wouldn't run an account, but if you do a lot of eBay buying, it's nice to have a PayPal account on
eBay. If you do a lot of online buying, it's nice because then you just click check out with PayPal and your information's already in there, and if you know it's secure through PayPal, and you just do it.
Yeah, it's arguably more secure because the merchant mm-hmm. doesn't get anything but the PayPal token.
Which I like that, yeah. quite honestly, because I already have so many accounts online. Right.
You trust PayPal, you don't have to worry about trusting the other mm-hmm. guy mm-hmm. with your credit card number. And even today, it's not unusual, I think, for credit card numbers to yeah. get stolen from merchants who don't necessarily secure yep. their databases very well. We've heard about that an awful lot. You know, there are other ways to be that secure. You can use Apple Pay, for mm-hmm. instance. If a merchant supports Apple Pay, that's the most secure, in my opinion, way to use a credit card. You can also ask your credit card company. A number of credit card companies offer one-time use credit cards where you get a number that is just for that merchant or just for that one purchase. That's very secure, too, because, again, that credit card number can't be used again by a bad guy. But, yeah, I like PayPal. We still use PayPal. We still take donations mm-hmm. through PayPal.
I use it personally. That's how I sometimes share lump amounts of sums between things.
It's sad they made it less secure about a month ago. They stopped. They used to make a dongle that would give you for second factor authentication that six digits uh-huh. that you would use.
Yeah.
And that credit card, they would offer a electronic card or a little football. They discontinued that now, and they sent it via text messaging, which is not as secure.
Interesting.
So, but it's, I mean, I think for most intents and purposes, it's just as secure. Turn on two factor if you're going to use PayPal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they'll push you. They will push you again and again to tie it to your bank account. And I think you should resist that.
Oh, really?
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, there's a more risk, right? Because then they could drain your bank account. If you only use them as a credit card processor, the credit card company is now responsible for making you whole. If you tie your bank account to it, then PayPal has to make it whole. And not that they wouldn't, but I just, you did that, huh? They push you, don't they?
They pushed me. I mean, it was years. They were emailing me.
That's how they make their money.
If it goes awry, I'll just write about it.
See, she's got the power. Do not cross somebody who buys ink by the barrel. You don't buy ink.
No, well.
Nobody buys ink, right? Bits.
Oh,
you buy
what?
Bits by the barrel.
I've been seeing a lot of advertisements on FX for colored pencils.
Oh, yeah, that's
the
big.
Prisma. The Prisma colored pencils. Yeah. It's
huge. You know why? Coloring books.
I know, it's amazing. Yeah. But it was right after an ad for Verizon, and I was just thinking, wow, that's a lot.
That's how I made this shirt. It was white.
It says Tulum on it. I mean, it says Tulum in Oaxaca. Want to be in Tulum.
No, I know. I mean, Tulum is amazing.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
That's where you go when you need to chill out.
Colored pencils from Prismaca. You know, I'm just full of anecdotes today. But in fact, I heard that bookstores are suffering this year because sales of adult coloring books have plummeted.
You know, they were kind of going a little crazy with the adult coloring books.
It was the last thread holding bookstores alive, and now it's over.
Now the adults have found other ways to chill out. Bookstores are leaving. Thank you, everyone. It's been a great afternoon.
You're the best. Please come by. I love having you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Come anytime.
Thank you.
Read more of Flo at AndroidCentral.com, of course. Her S8 review is on iMore.com. Mm-hmm,
that's right. I did the inaugural Android review for iMore.
That must have shaken some people up.
Actually, we got a lot of really good feedback and good responses, which I'm very happy for because, of course, in this life, you don't just use one tech. You use multiple techs.
And I think if you're an iPhone fan, you might be interested what's on the other side, just in case, you know, something good came along. You can also catch Flo every Tuesday for All About Android. Mm-hmm. 5, 6, 7, sometime in the evening.
We figure it out.
Along with Jason Howell and Ron Richards. Thank you so much for being
Thank you, Leo.
You're the greatest. We do this show every Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, 2200 UTC. That's when I give out those times. Those are when we stream the live production. So if you want to see things fall apart, people swear, hair catch on fire, watch it live.
Pre-show, you watch that.
You're going to see all the stuff we edit out later, right? Because we do edit out stuff. Clean it up, put a beginning and an end on it, and then offer it for you as a download so you can watch it whenever you feel like it on demand at twit.tv/NSS for this show or, you know, for all our shows, twit.tv, or wherever you subscribe. You know, and we do want to encourage people to subscribe. I think more and more people are streaming shows. They're watching live or they're streaming them from, you know, iTunes or whatever. And it really helps us if you subscribe and you get each episode. That makes a big difference because it evens out our numbers instead of big. That's why I think it's happening that people are just kind of watching ad hoc because the numbers are going, So it's very helpful if you subscribe. So if you haven't yet, even if you're going to watch it live, subscribe in your podcatcher, and that way you'll always have a copy, audio or video, on your mobile device. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on the new Screensavers. Bye-bye, everybody! Bye-bye!